Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Prem Tao. Tao is trained to be a symphonic musician and plays the French horn. Tao took sannyas in 1977 and after Oregon moved to Hawaii, where she currently lives and works, organizing and facilitating wedding ceremonies. I'm so happy to have Tao on the show and I hope you enjoy. Tao, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Oh, just terrific. I'm so excited to be here.
Fantastic. Okay, so to start out, tell us a little bit about you and your story before meeting Osho.
Well, okay. Gosh, there's so many parts to it. But I was originally born in Canada. And I was born into a very ordinary middle-class Jewish family. My parents worked 7 days a week. And as a child, I used to have this whole idea of adventure and my parents had a store and I would go to the cash register, take out a quarter and go buy a whole card of streetcar tickets and just get on a streetcar, get off, get on, get off and just explore. So there was always a sense of adventure, but, in great contradiction to what kind of the ethos of the family was. Anyway, 1965, I married and moved to London, England. And that's really where the story in terms of, you know, sannyas and Osho and my current life really begin. After my husband and I separated in 1969, I was looking for a way to deal with all the emotions that I had about this. He went back to Canada. I didn't want to go. I stayed in England. And so I sought out a Reichian therapist called David Boadella. He was the Reichian man. And through my work with him, came to Quasi Tour and community growth. Kaleidoscope then, growth centers.
Sounds like London was very vibrant in the mid-60s and early 70s in terms of spiritual movements, and there were lots of seekers. And among them, I understand lots of sannyasins coming back in orange robes with this necklace around the neck with Osho's picture. Is that how you then became attracted to Osho?
That was my first introduction. People I knew, therapists, attendees of the center would leave for India and come back with orange robes and a mala, red and orange robes. And I have to say that I thought it was a little bit silly myself at that time. And I listened to all the stories, but I did not feel this was something that I wanted. Until left England and went to San Francisco. And in San Francisco, I noticed one day that absolutely everybody who was around me, everybody that I spent my time with, everybody was a sannyasin. And I thought, my goodness, you know, there's something happening here. You know, something, my heart was melting. Something was finally kind of opening up for me around. I had done the meditations, I had listened to sannyasins, but somehow there was still a kind of something wasn't connecting, but that started in San Francisco. And then one day I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, I knew I was going to Pune. I had felt the call and the pull, and I went to Pune.
Okay, amazing. So somehow you have been around sannyasin for a number of years, but you just didn't feel it was the right time. And then it just happened. It's something inside clicked. And then
Exactly.
So, and which year was that? And if you can tell us how long you have been with Osho after you went to Pune.
Okay, so that was 1977. I took sannyas in 77. And there's one thing I have to say about my darshan that is the most beautiful experience ever. And I think that really has shaped my life ever since. What happened to me was I experienced unconditional love for the very first time in my life. Meeting Osho, then Bhagwan, meeting Osho, feeling this indescribable, we can call it unconditional love, this indescribable, enormous, enveloping energy in which he received absolutely everybody who came and sat before him, no matter, you know, what the topic was, just did something to me that remains with me to this day. And so when I sat in front of him and he looked at me and I looked at him and he said, well, okay, what about you? You want to take sannyas? That was it. And I just yelled, yes, yes, yes. It just flew out of me. My heart just opened up and he named me Tao. Now, up until that time, everybody was getting Hindi names, but he gave me a Chinese name. And that was unbelievable because I always felt that I was born with a Chinese soul. When I was a child, I used to imagine my going to the feet of the master as a child, and he was always a Chinese sage. When he named me Tao, that, you know, that it's something, it's kind of like what I'm doing now, where I'm doing soul readings for people, where, you know, connecting people to, you know, the essence of who they are, you know, because that's really what we're doing is we're, you know, trying to be, to align and become, no longer be separate. That really was an experience that radically changed me and was the beginning of the true life ever since 1977.
Let's jump to your current life today and let's talk about what you're doing now, which is quite unusual for a sannyasin, at least from the outside. People know how Osho attracted a certain type of people, at least in the 70s and 80s. And then you hear what you ended up doing now. it's quite an interesting story. So after you lived with Osho in India, you moved to Rajneeshpuram in Oregon. So you spent a few years there. And then I believe when that ended, you moved to Hawaii. And then what you're doing in Hawaii is essentially facilitating weddings. It'd be great to hear, how did that happen?
Osho, being at in Pune, being in the ashram, I was there for 3 years, completely changed my life, the direction of my life. Because now I feel I was connected to the true spirit of who I am, who this person is. When I left Pune, I reopened the meditation center in Toronto. I went back to Toronto. Then was drawn to go to Rajneeshpuram, where I was to the very, very end. So from there, I went to Hawaii with a group of other sannyasins, ostensibly to open up a resort. But one day I was walking along the main street here. The main street's an ocean road, this beautiful ocean road called the Li'i Drive. And I went into a church, this beautiful church made of local woods, ohia wood and koa wood, very beautiful native woods here. And I happened to be seeing there was a wedding going on. Now, the wedding consisted of this little Japanese bride walking down this big corridor passageway to her little Japanese groom who was waiting for her. And the pastor was sitting way up high, his voice booming. And it was more kind of a traditional Christian ceremony. And it seemed so cold to me. And I remember at that time, the thought came, you know something, I could do something better in the sense of writing ceremonies, creating ceremonies that touch people's hearts, that actually having it be something meaningful and, you know, giving them kind of a direction, maybe something, making that soul connection, soul heart soul connection that could open up their future life together. And that just, it was like a light bulb going on. And that's what I started doing. What I do is I tune into my couple. And this I can do really because of my experience as a sannyasin, because I totally can trust what comes through. Many of these couples I've never met, and because mostly they're destination weddings. And yet people say they felt that I'd known them forever after they'd had their ceremony. So this, you know, all of this life is totally because of my love affair with Osho and with who and what he represents. And it's just so, I wish everybody could have this experience. I wish everybody could have this experience because it's life, completely life changing. You'd be, you know, it's like taking a mirror and seeing who you are and delighting in the uniqueness of who you are.
There is so much talking nowadays about finding your purpose in life, find your mission, really listen to your heart and do what you want, because most of the people nowadays work in offices and they're not satisfied with the job and what they're doing. And in your case, sounds to me like you had this incredible story. You lived in India, you went back to the USA, you were in Oregon, and then somehow you ended up in Hawaii. And then just passing by, you saw a ceremony and you had this insight, this intuition, and you said, okay, that's what I want to do. And it just happened to you. Also, for me as a sannyasin and an Osho lover, to see how Osho, he always said that when he would leave the body, he would live through his sannyasin, and his energy can be felt and spread in so many different forms, including wedding ceremonies, which is probably not the most obvious thing that you would imagine for a sannyasin.
It's another irony, but you know, life is ironic. Life is full of ironies, and I'm sure he's laughing at the whole thing. I have to tell you, though, that I quote him in my ceremonies.
No way. Tell me about that. I want to hear that.
I end my ceremonies. Well, almost ended. Then I have another statement. Even though I write different ceremonies for each couple, I this gets included in every ceremony. And it's this one. It's, life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. I was in lecture that morning when he said that. Oh, and he told a joke, which was, he said two Italians were heard after morning lecture to say, boy, that Bhagwan, he really knows what he's talking about, where he said, life is not a problem to be solved, but a misery to be lived.
Well, everyone hears what they want to hear, no? That's the mind.
That was so funny. Anyway, yeah, so that's in every one of my ceremonies.
I understand you are a reverend, which means you are into the Christian kind of...
No.
Tell us about...
I am a reverend, but no, I'm very clear with people that I am a spiritual minister. And that I don't follow any organized path, but I marry everybody. What I am is connected to the source. And so I can connect to the source in anybody's belief system. So that I will do a Christian ceremony. I do Jewish weddings. I'll do a Jewish ceremony. I'll do a Buddhist ceremony, which I've done. I've done a Hindu ceremony. I've done just regular different denominations. And for me, it's whatever words. If you're a Christian and you say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will say that, because those are the words that open your heart. So whatever, you know, whatever your belief system is, whatever I can use that touches your heart, that's what I do. And to me, it makes no difference, because I feel the source behind all these things. The source is the same, which you know, of course, but the source is the same, and I can feel the source beneath the words so that I can use anybody's words. It doesn't make any difference to me. So I'm very clear with people about that. If they ask me, you know, am I a Christian? I say, well, no, not specifically, not specifically.
Now it's coming clear to me in which way you are connected to Osho's energy, to Osho's vision, and what you have learned from Osho. I think it's reflected in this, because that's partly what Osho was doing. He was talking the language that we understand. He commented on so many different traditional religious books and paths just to attract us, and then to go beyond, to really show us that what is important and essential is beyond that, and connecting us to the source. And it's beautiful that what you're doing is to finding the keys with people to open the heart.
Yes. You know, for me, the lifelong learning is about love. And that's really what my ceremonies are too, because it's a giving a deeper, more expanded vision of what loving one another is. You know, it's not a, for example, when I first started writing vows, I would say, I promise to love you, but I took that out because you can't promise that. And when people are writing vows, I say, make promises that you can keep. Don't make promises that you can't keep. You can't promise to love somebody forever. You don't know that they're going to do it. But it's expanding the whole sense of what love is. You know, love is so vast, and it has such a deep central core, and has very little to do with I love you, I love you forever. It has really nothing to do with that. So that's really what I, you know, make my contribution as much as I can into the ceremonies, is kind of re-educating. And not in a sermon kind of way, but in a very romantic, poetic way, to re-educate people, expand the whole idea of what love is and what love isn't.
So in all this rich, colorful, fun, I would say, and adventurous journey, can you find an Osho red thread that connects it all?
To me, it's about a returning to the joy of being who you are. You know, that's a multi-lifetime's journey, is being able to come back down. I think this is a personal journey for me that I'm describing, is that now, after so much ambition and grand ideas, and as a child wanting to travel, see what was going on everywhere in the world, to now seeing this, that what matters, I guess the red thread would be the joy of being who you are. Being happy, content, it's joy. The joy of being who you are, and you don't have to be anybody special. The joy in the moment of being you. I mean, that's really it. And I think everything that I've done has been because of the adventure soul that I was born with, that really got touched when I went to India. It opened, it mushroomed open, and there was no more the conflict between my upbringing and being in the mind and how I should be, and the spirit that just wanted so much but didn't know exactly what that was. It wanted something. And it was really when I came to Osho that I began on the road to discovery to what that is. So for me, the connector is a kind of integrity. It's a willingness to look at yourself, be honest with yourself, see really, to experience, to shift from the head to the feeling. That's definitely been my journey. It's been self-awareness, self-learning, self-knowing.
So if you were to describe what you learned from Osho that helps you today in doing what you're doing, what would that be?
It would be trust. Number one, trust. Trust in self, trust in life. Life is incredible. You don't have to know. You don't have to work things out. If once, you know, the beautiful surrender word, the being word. So that's one big thing. Trust and surrender, being, and going with the flow, which, of course, is the meaning of Tao. That's number one. Number two is seeing life as an adventure. You know, that quote that I gave, that life is a mystery. It's not a problem. Life is a mystery. So it would be the opening, going with whatever is happening without resistance, without judgment. It's like that opening, body first, body, mind, and spirit. So trust in life, trust in self, in the life that flows through oneself, you being exactly how you are, trusting that, accepting it, loving it, and seeing life as a great mystery and an adventure. This is really what I've come away with. I would say number one and two.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Are you working currently on any particular project? Do you have anything planned for the near future?
I have three books started and as of yet unfinished. One is on wedding ceremonies, writing. It's a resource, a how-to book for people who don't know how to put words to their feelings. It's like giving vows and ceremony sample ideas. The other is called Thrashing Around in Emptiness, which is a book talking about my experiences that have formed and shaped me in my life, starting with when I was 7 years old. And the third book is called Life on the Magic Path, which is an allegory. It has to do with a cat called Magic, who was my cat, who wanted to become his higher self. Well, he wanted to become his wild self. That was his way of saying he wanted to become enlightened and free. And it's also introduces people to the true intelligence of animals. That there's so much more than a lot of people give credit for. And it's also an allegory about life being on the magic path. And it introduces people to animal communicators. So those are the three books still to be finished. And I'm hoping that while I'm still in this body, that I will get these books done. And
my goodness, so you're working on three books at the same time?
Well, let's say I'm not working on three books at the same time. I want to get them finished. I don't know what I need to get over that hump. But three books, yes, and they're all different.
That's really amazing. So, I mean, it just shows that you are full of energy and creativity. So where people can find you if they want to know more about you and perhaps they are planning a wedding and they want something a little bit different from the traditional route?
Okay, so I just celebrated my 77th birthday. That's by the way, because I'm a Leo, I have to throw that in. So weddings, my website is weddingsalaheart.com. www.weddingsalaheart.com.
Okay, beautiful. And I will link the website in the notes of this show. So for everyone interested, they can find you there, get in touch. And if they come by or if they're planning any kind of unusual wedding celebrated by a sannyasin reverend, they can come and contact you.
I also do memorial services and scattering of ashes. And I write a ceremony. What I do is I tune into the person who has departed because they, you know, up until now, mostly all of them, not all of them, but mostly all of them have a message for the people left behind. So I do that, give that. Anyhow, I appreciate that, Soram.
No problem at all. I mean, it's beautiful to share talents and especially what you do sounds really interesting. And I'm so happy to have clarified that with you because from the surface, you know, it's easy to go into the mind and judge and think, oh, how a sannyasin now ended up being a reverend doing weddings and also,
oh, you know, Oh, interesting. I never even thought about that.
But when you talk to the person and you hear your story, and it's wonderful what you're doing, and I really appreciate that. So I've got three final questions before we end the show. So the first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
Well, I wake up and I do a little invocation to the presence within me and without. And then I will, first of all, see what day it is and what I've got on board, whether I have to jump out of bed and begin to work, or I can lie around and just, I like to dawdle in the morning. I'm pretty much a night person. And so in the mornings, I like to kind of take it slow and easy, but I can't always. Some mornings I will get up and I go and take a walk on the Wallula Trail, which is a favorite walk of mine. I have my own, this is going to probably go into another story, but I have my own meditation. I have my own meditation that has come as a result of my experience with Osho.
Okay, so in fact, the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why? And perhaps you may want to talk about this secret meditation you have received from Osho.
Yeah, this is something that I first discovered when I was 13 years old after an operation in an incredible amount of pain without any painkillers. And I had to find some way of easing the pain. Otherwise, I said, I'm going to jump out of the window. And notice that in, but usually when you're in pain, if it's emotional pain or physical pain, it seems like it's continual, but there's actually a gap, as we know, with waves coming in and going out, and with the breath, there's a little gap. And so I happened to discover that gap, and through waiting for the gap, I fell asleep and the pain went away. And I didn't know that I'd stumbled on anything incredible until later on in my life. You go to where that tension or the heaviness or the pain is in the body, and you just begin to very gently breathe to the center of that place. This, to me, I would say send your love there, but sending your breath there is the same thing. This truly is self-loving. So that's my favorite meditation.
Well, thank you. It's very, very valuable, because so many people suffer from physical and emotional pain. So it's actually a very practical technique that can be applied, and it's wonderful. Thank you for that. So
my pleasure.
The last question is, you leave the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
I feel that had I not been there, I wouldn't be here today. I feel that my life really began, the true life began, in meeting this incredible, incredible being. I think of my time in Pune as the being in the garden of the child. We were allowed to be and to express and to release and to expand into whatever greatness one possesses as an individual, the uniqueness. And that's the greatness. When you truly are who you are, I feel that that's a greatness. And Pune, it has allowed me to live a life that I was meant to live. I wish everybody could have experienced Pune at that time. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just an unbelievable experience, all of it.
Thank you so much, Tao, for sharing your story. And especially this last question, it clearly gives a sense of how special that time was. And you can't replicate it, I guess. You know, it just comes once every probably 2,000-3,000 years with a living Buddha like Osho, and you were lucky to be there. And many times
I say thank God that I was there. So grateful.
But I'm very happy and I'm very grateful that I can connect with people like you who were there, because somehow you still bring that, you carry that energy, that freshness, that something from the beyond, and so beautiful. And I hope that many people who will listen to your story will catch a glimpse of it.
Well, I'm just so thrilled, really thrilled to be able to, you know, to speak with you. I think what you're doing is just an incredible service. It's beautiful. And I'm so glad that Bhagwati connected us. I'm so happy. I'm happy to share the stories. They need to be shared. And there's so many. There are so many stories. So thank you so much. As we say here, mahalo nui loa.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Tao. So that's the end of the show. It's been a joy talking to you. Your energy is infectious. And at your age, you are so alive and vibrant. And that's really amazing. And thank you so much for sharing with us your energy and story.
Entirely my pleasure. Much aloha.
Bye-bye. See you.
For now.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Lavo Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit lavoshow.com for new episodes, blogs,
and much more.